The Playlist with Ben and Fiona.
Well, I suppose I'm a fan of Hugh Jackman, bar when he opens his mouth and a song comes out.
Welcome to The Playlist, where we talk about movies and TV shows that are worth your time. I'm Fiona Williams, and I manage our online coverage of movies and TV at SBS, and I'm joined by my co-host, SBS Channel Manager, Ben Nguyen. Hey, Ben, you out there?
Hi, Fee. Good to be talking again.
Albeit remotely.
Yes, although we are seeing again some loosening of restrictions, so I believe I may see you in an adjacent office come July. Who knows?
Yeah, see you in 6 weeks.
Put it in the diary.
Do.
In the meantime, this week on The Playlist, we discuss four shows blending comedy with the serious subject of death, including the new Amazon series Upload. We take a look at bad education and trying in what we've been watching and offer up our ISO picks for SBS On Demand.
Yeah, that's a lot to get through. Where should we start?
Well, the new series Upload, have you had a chance to see this, Fee, on Amazon?
I have not. I don't really know much about it. So, well, what is this one?
Well, it did get me thinking about this subject. So it comes from Greg Daniels, who's known for things like Parks and Recreation. And in the first episode, we meet our main character called Nathan. And it's set in the future. He is the victim of a car accident in his self-driving car that everyone has in the future.
How far into the future are we?
It's sometime in the near future. And he's presented with a choice as he's rushed into hospital in a very serious condition, is that he can either go to the operating room and they can try and save his life. They give him about a 20% chance. Or he can go to the upload room where his girlfriend has paid for him to be digitally placed into a kind of corporatized heaven. And he signs the documents or sort of clicks okay to the terms and conditions, which he doesn't really read through.
Who does?
And finds himself in this kind of grand hotel set in a sort of autumn setting in North American National Park.
Hello, Nathan. 10 fingers and toes?
Pretty seamless.
This is the first day of the rest of your afterlife.
You may find yourself living in a beautiful house.
Cool.
Welcome to Lakeview. Uplifting views, timeless Americana.
Yes. It's 10 a.m. Breakfast is over.
No! It's not even real food!
Food guy coming through.
He's on the basic plan, so he sadly doesn't have access to the in-app purchases in his minibar and the add-ons which are required.
Got to go pro for all that.
So it's very much a fish out of water story. But I suppose it is more than that as well. It's trying to take a look at, I guess, what it means to be human in some sense, what makes us who we are even after we're gone or even in the digital realm. And sort of how do we cope with the idea of an ending, and those around us, how do they deal with that as well? It's a topic that I thought a number of shows recently seem to have all come together to explore in different ways. So the Ricky Gervais series, which has just gone to a second season, Afterlife on Netflix, takes a look at what it's like to be a widower, played by Ricky Gervais, who's lost the love of his life, his wife, whose memories live on in some ways through the many videos of her that he's recorded. But it's left him with a sense that without her, there's no purpose to live on. And that makes him a very mean, unlikable man. So that sort of that's how the comedy is wrung out of that series. And then, of course, a show we've talked about a couple of times on The Playlist before, The Good Place, which again is looking at a kind of fantasy version of what an afterlife might look like, and forcing the four characters in that series to think back to the mistakes they made in their own lives and how to come to terms with that and whether they have an opportunity or not to become better people. And I know I haven't seen this series, but a show which follows similar themes is Dead to Me on Netflix.
No one can ever know what happened.
Judy's back! Hi!
I thought Judy wasn't going to be in our lives anymore.
Guess you guys can't stay away from each other, huh?
How are we supposed to figure out what to do with a dead body?
I don't know. Baby, get ready, set.
All I can think about is movies that involve wood chippers or dissolving a body in a bathtub. That is the man I was going to marry.
He deserves some dignity.
I'm sorry, Judy. Not everything is a Disney movie is about to start fucking Castle fucking Sparkle time, okay?
Yeah, I love Dead to Me. I think I'm on the record for saying that in past episodes of the playlist. Yeah, this one, I was literally just watching this on the weekend. The new season, season two has just dropped of Dead to Me. Yes, this one is very much for about the story of who's left behind. So this one has Christina Applegate as a widow grieving the hit and run of her husband and interacting with Linda Cardellini, who may have had something to do with that. It's a really rich comedy about their lives and the chaos. Like, Linda Cardellini is a bit of an agent of chaos who comes into her life. And that was season one, but season two's taken a new direction. So it's just building on their characters quite a bit. But, yes, looking at how grief can make you crazy and living in the aftermath, especially if it's a sudden accident, like the particular one that leads this series was. Yeah, but there is a bit of a trend at the moment. What is with that? I've not actually watched the ones you mentioned. I've seen a little bit of The Good Place, but not really on board with Afterlife. Haven't watched that, and certainly not Upload either. So, yeah, I haven't really done a deep dive into this theme.
Yeah, I suppose it's very central to human experience is experiencing the loss of loved ones. And maybe there is something about the rise of streaming services that perhaps a subject that's probably, you know, notable for how uncomfortable it can be, that there are more creative people willing to take on that subject and try and find sort of humour and tell stories that allow people to find some meaning, you know, out of, you know, what is a very confronting part of life.
Mm. Yeah, true. I mean, a lot of these series, you could not imagine them on broadcast television. Yeah, a lot of them are slow burns too. You do, like, some of them are riotously funny, like Dead to Me, but it's a hard sell. So, yeah, you're quite right, I think. Just having a series drop on a streaming service takes the pressure off of trying to get broadcast ratings necessarily. But, yeah, it does that format and the bingeability of some of the shows as well, I think, probably enhances this kind of stuff.
Mm. Yeah. The Good Place we've obviously have talked about a few times, and that was made for network TV. But I think, to be honest, I have no idea how the ratings were in the US, but it certainly was very obviously written to be binged and to have a life cycle which would extend into streaming. So I think that's still there. You can see that influence.
Mm.
I think that Upload is interesting. You know, I think sort of each of these shows reflect different aspects of our life and culture, but Upload does it very obviously that it's trying to take this idea of, I guess, the way that the internet has been commercialized and then applying that into the realm of how afterlife might look like. So I think that there have been episodes of Black Mirror, for example, that have looked at that way that we might digitally upload ourselves and therefore live on.
I'm confused. Can you explain a bit more about Upload? What form does he take?
So he looks like himself.
Right.
Like, he is sort of a 20-something good-looking guy at the time he died. When he does make it into this afterlife, he goes to catch the lift and there's a woman in the lift who's in black and white, and the joke is that the photo that her family chose of her was one from the 1960s, which was a black and white snap. So she's forever sort of stuck in that form. I have to admit, so far from what I've seen, I feel like there are more questions than answers, and it feels like quite a number of holes in this world that they've created. But I guess the question is, will some of those holes begin to be filled in over time?
Mm.
But I guess sort of very bizarrely, because he now is basically a digital avatar of his personality that's been sort of uploaded into this digital recreation of Earth, and he has consciousness, which they talk about in that first episode, but he also has the ability to call his girlfriend on the phone who's still living. So that's a sort of quite bizarre setup where in this reality you're able to sort of literally have those conversations from beyond the grave.
Yeah, right. You could Zoom in the current predicament even. It's a tangent, but in you explaining the concept of upload, it reminded me of a movie that was made years ago with Robin Wright, The Congress, in which she plays an actress who, she doesn't die, but she's of a certain age where actresses get less work, and it's put to her by her scummy agent that maybe she might want to be digitally scanned for future use in various roles, animation, all sorts of things. So from that concept, which, you know, at the time it was 2013, I've just looked up, was a wild concept. But, of course, Star Wars has done it since with Carrie Fisher and Peter Cushing. Mm. So, you know, actors have been in roles after they do die. But, just that concept made me think of that film that it didn't get a big release. It was more a festival circuit film, but The Congress, that was a good one. Yeah, looking at these kind of themes of what having this digital archive of yourself that will outlive you. Anyway, weird tangent, but there you go.
No, yeah, that's interesting. Would you do it, Fee? Would you, if there was an option to scan your personality and and
my gift
on
to the world? Oh, look, playlist episodes will live on. I'm good. But I'd like to choose the picture that people use. Yeah. I had good makeup or whatever, but yeah. So to that element, would you?
I would say not. I've personally always felt quite comfortable with the idea of death. I think that one thing that makes afterlife interesting is that Ricky Gervais is obviously sort of quite a vocal atheist in life, and that does find its way into the film and the series. And he certainly he has no sense that his wife sort of, she's somehow existing after her death. And I mean, that sort of has sent him into his character into a spiral of depression and suicidal thoughts. And he has to kind of work through those. Mm. But one thing that the series does talk about is that just finding meaning within the life you lead while you have it, and, you know, none of us really knowing for how long we will have it, as opposed to trying to bank up goodwill and meaning for some time after death. So I think broadly that's a good, you know, something worth living by.
Yeah. And to that, I do think, like, grief is part of life, and it shapes you and changes you. But I think the more there are shows, and it helps that they're comedies and occasional horror movies about the process of grieving and just all the weirdness that you go through. I think, you know, if it's part of popular culture, that's not a bad thing. We're all going to have to experience it, sadly, at various points of our lives. So, yeah, rather than thinking of, oh, how can I still keep living when I'm not, is a little bit abstract. So, yeah, we do literally have to deal with it. So why not watch a couple of comedies and get it out that way?
Yeah, I think that's a good point to end on. So Upload, all episodes are available on Amazon Prime Video now. Afterlife, Dead to Me, and The Good Place are all available on Netflix.
All right, well, how about a bit of what we've been watching? Let's move on to that. What have you been watching, Ben?
Well, I checked out another recent sitcom that's been newly released to Apple TV Plus called Trying. And, you know, we've just been speaking about the end of life. This is looking at the other end of life because it features a couple with fertility issues set in the UK, and they are being unsuccessful in trying to have a child. they have made the decision that they're going to look into adoption.
Do you want to have sex?
Look, I've just had a big dinner and it's 1 a.m.
Do you still enjoy having sex with me?
Absolutely, yes.
As much as you used to?
Yes.
Wow.
I've seen the film before, so I'm not on the edge of my seat, but it's still my favourite film of all time.
I wish I could say that I liked it, but it was really, really terrible.
You found it trying. Sorry. Specifically, why?
I mean, first of all, the writing is bad and the gags fall flat.
I mean, is it meant to be funny in a way or is it straight drama?
It's meant to be a comedy.
Oh, okay.
So Rafe Spall plays the husband, Jason, and Esther Smith plays Nikki, the woman in the couple, and they're trying, for want of a better word, to give it their all. But the material they're laden with, it feels very inauthentic. I think that, I can't speak to the writer's experience, and I assume that to pitch a show like this, I think it's pretty much his first show that he's sort of created. And for him to pitch it successfully and get this show up, I'm assuming, I couldn't actually find any interviews with him, but I assume that he has some personal experience of this, but it doesn't feel like it. It really feels paint by numbers. And I have to say as well, I feel like so much of the story in this case rests on Nikki's character. Mm. And I don't think that he writes women very well. And I think that that really lets the series down. So I think that it's a show which takes a potentially interesting topic, but really fails on all levels pretty much.
Yeah, right. Now you're really talking it up. yeah, that just sounds like a really missed opportunity. I think that can be quite a lot of relatable stuff in there. And no, you're not really talking it up, so I don't think I'll put that one on my watch list.
Yeah, no, I think it's sort of an attempt by Apple TV Plus, who have been focused on, I think, sort of US content predominantly, to move into something more international in terms of out of the UK and, you know, a bit more sort of low-key rather than high concept.
Mm.
But they're going to have to try again with something else, I'm afraid.
Yeah, no pun intended.
And what have you been watching, Fee?
Well, in saying this, I suppose I'm seeing a trend emerge in this episode, but given the fact we lost a couple of prominent people this week, we lost Fred Willard, the fantastic character, actor, comedian, and the director Lynn Shelton as well was a shock death over the weekend.
Yeah.
So as is the case when prominent people pass away in the film industry, I always sort of seek out some of their stuff to watch just as a little, oh yeah, let's go revisit some of the great stuff. So with Fred Willard, I went back and watched Waiting for Guffman, the great kind of started them off on this run after this is Spinal Tap, of course, but the great story of a theatre troupe in Blaine, Missouri, just waiting for a new big city New York critic to attend their wonderful performance, recognising the founders of their town. Absolutely played for laughs. If you're a fan of Schitt's Creek, as I am, Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy are in there as well, as is Christopher Guest, Parker Posey, gang's all there. It's hilarious, mockumentary, as they all are, with stereotype characters but played for laughs and with a bit of warmth in there as well. It's very funny. We had that on DVD, so I just popped that one in the machine.
Given I have no shame about mentioning my past amateur dramatics, that movie has always spoken to me.
Well, yes, it would be multi-layered in your experience then. Yes, I go revisit it. I'll lend you the DVD. I'll post it to you. Yep, very good. So one of my all-time favourites is Best in Show, but I didn't have that handy to watch. So, and it had been too long since I'd seen Waiting for Guffman, so watch that. But, yeah, Best in Show. A Mighty Wind's hilarious. I always do the, hey, what happened line of Fred Willard.
Hey, what happened?
So many. So look, you know, just do a search, find a Fred Willard movie and pop it on and remember him. And also with Lynn Shelton, the director of Hump Day and Your Sister's Sister and some later movies, Laggies. Her stuff is a little harder to find on streaming, unfortunately. If you have Stan, Your Sister's Sister is up there. But, yeah, do seek out Hump Day as well if you can find it. Yeah, just that was a shocking loss. So yeah, she had so many more great films in her, I'm sure.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of her films, but I was reading over the weekend just how loved she was by everyone who worked with her and everyone who wished that they had worked with her.
Mm.
She also directed 4 episodes of the adaptation of Little Fires Everywhere with Reese Witherspoon, if people have an opportunity to seek that out.
Mm. And an episode of Mad Men, a great one, where Joan has an abortion. It's, yeah, really great episode, actually. So, yeah, that was a big blow. So do you do that when someone passes away, if you've got one of their films, or you try and seek it out to have a little memorial?
No, but I'm thinking I might start. Like, it is a nice way just to remember them.
Yeah. No, with my husband and I, we always like, okay, I guess we're watching that tonight. It's just I don't think we're rowing that boat alone either. Certainly with SBS On Demand as well, there can be a little bit of a spike. We've got some films of people, I think, you know, once they're in your memory, you want to go back and see their good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And what else have you been watching, Fee?
Well, just for something completely different, I had a look at Bad Education.
Please join me in welcoming to the stage our district superintendent and my friend, Frank Tassello.
In Long Island, the town is only as good as its
public schools.
The better the school system, the higher the price tag on the homes.
These are the best early decision numbers that we've ever seen.
I wanted to make a difference. I got us all the way to number 4, and I will get us to number 1.
Get us to first. That's all that matters.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
I've been doing some digging. I'm concerned with what I found.
Bad Education is a telemovie that it was from HBO in the US, but screened here on Foxtel. And as is Foxtel's wont, it's screening a lot more probably on Foxtel. So this one stars Hugh Jackman, Australia's own, as a Long Island school superintendent. He's a master of like a positive message and really inspiring the students. And it's one of those schools where it's a bit of a feeder to Harvard. So they're ranked very well in the community. And of course, if a public school's ranked highly, house prices go up. So it's, you know, there's a lot riding on the success of the school, but turns out there's a little bit of graft happening in the school, and there's quite a little low-level corruption that turns into maybe a whole lot more higher-level corruption. So it's a great story of using the kind of the crucible of a school to tell a story of secrets and lies and cover-ups and embezzlement. And, yeah, it's a great story.
Mm.
It's got a great cast in as well. It's got Allison Janney, Ray Romano in one of his dramatic roles that he's getting better and better at all the time. So, yeah, fantastic cast that all riff off each other. And, you know, it's drama, but it's played at that level where it's quite fun and a little camp in parts. Yeah, really good time, I thought.
You're reminding me of, I think, probably tonally very different, but the season of The Wire that focused all on the education system and how it related to government.
To my great shame, I've not seen The Wire.
Oh.
I know. I hear it's great.
If only there was some worldwide event that confined us all to our homes so that we could catch up on really great television.
Here's hoping. If you hear of anything, let me know.
Yeah.
Yes. But I mentioned the great cast, and fantastic in it also is Geraldine Viswanathan. She's Australian, and she was hilarious in Blockers a couple of years ago, that big bawdy comedy. But she, yeah, she's great. She's one of the students here and plucky journalist working for the school paper and, caught in the bind here of maybe uncovering a big story, but also this could really affect her future of getting into college. So she's playing it much straighter than the adults who are all, who've all got a bit something to hide. So really funny dynamics going on in this. And, this one's directed by Corey Finley, but it reminded me a lot of Alexander Payne's Election, which I think you can sort of see the connection there with the schools and the story of using the school as a symbol of maybe wider corruption going on in the community and how easily things can be overlooked and swept under the carpet. And we're all friends here, you know, rap on the knuckles maybe, when you can see how corruption can take hold in bigger organisations.
Oh, I do love that film, yeah. Election.
And Hugh Jackman is excellent here. There's a lot of close-ups on him, and his character's vanity is part of the story as well. So when watching things like this, and I always yell out, Amy Clip, when I see see a good scene that you just know is going to be on the reel later. But he's great and hilarious. And bit menacing in parts too, so definitely one to watch. So that's Bad Education, and I caught that on Foxtel.
I am a Hugh Jackman fan, but I want to ask you, what do you think of his singing?
Well, I mean, it's musical singing, so I think it's of its own. That's not a diss, by the way, but it's a, you know, he hasn't released an album necessarily. So for the stage, he's got the chops. He's triple threat, Ben. What are you talking about? Are you trying to disparage our Hugh?
Well, I suppose that I'm saying I'm a fan of Hugh Jackman, bar when he opens his mouth and a song comes out.
Wow. Les Mis. Peter Allen. No. Not your genre, perhaps.
I'll check him out, being a corrupt teacher.
Definitely do. It's great. Yeah.
And while we've been in isolation, we've been pulling out some of the highlights of what you can watch on SBS On Demand. Fee, what's your ISO pick for the week?
Well, it's actually a segue from Bad Education, because I mentioned Election, Alexander Payne's story of a school election. And coincidentally, that is available to stream at SBS On Demand at the moment for about another month or two. So this, if you haven't seen it, you really, really should. This one is Reese Witherspoon and Matthew Broderick. It's one for the ages, the story of a bit of a schlubby teacher's attempt to derail the election campaign of the presumptive school president, Tracy Flick, played by Reese Witherspoon to perfection, and loaded with all of Matthew Broderick's resentment for people's just assumed rise to power. So he attempts to derail that by trying to launch a campaign for a couple of other students to disrupt Tracy's inevitable rise to power. It's hilarious and wrong in so many ways, but really, really holds up. And I was reminded of it a lot in watching Bad Education. I thought for a second that Alexander Payne might have directed it, actually. It's just hilarious and brilliant. So go watch Election.
So I noticed it came out in the same year as another film about middle age malaise and high school, American Beauty.
Ugh.
And I feel like Election has aged so much better.
For so many reasons. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. No, you're right. Not really a comparison between the two, but
I think even taking out, you know, what we now know about cast members outside of the context of the movie, I think that Election is a movie much more, you know, worth revisiting.
So true. Yeah. American Beauty has the kind of longing for a younger woman thing that's a little bit icky these days and was then too. No, Election is played for laughs, but there's so much that rings true within it, just with petty rivalries and your own resentments. It's again, that's using the school just to show human nature at its best and worst, because schools can be such an intense environment. All the traits come out, and here it's played for laughs. Yeah, it holds up much better than American Beauty.
Speaking of intense, my ISO pick is a new drama series on SBS On Demand and going out weekly on the SBS channel as well, called 000, which stars Gabrielle Byrne, Andrea Riseborough, and Dane DeHaan amongst a global cast of characters. This is about the drug trade. So the title refers to very, very fine grain of flour. People in ISO may have been purchasing some 00 flour for their bread. And this is a even higher quality grain, but he refers to a different substance, otherwise known as cocaine. And I guess sort of it's very much in the Traffic mold, which first was a British miniseries and then was adapted into a feature film by Steven Soderbergh and then was adapted into a US miniseries. And I guess the similarities across all of those was that we saw the drug trade story from multiple angles. So in this case, we've got corrupt police officers in Mexico, the family who run the international trade. They're sort of traders, I guess. They pretend to be above board, but they understand where it is that their money's coming from. It's very stylishly shot. There's a lot of jumping back and forward in time. There's a significant death in the first episode that we begin to, we jump back and see how events led up to it. A lot of action for people who like series and movies like the aforementioned Traffic or something like McMafia, which also looked at how corporatized and globalized the drug trade has become. There'll be something for you here.
So that's 000, and how can we watch that one?
You can catch it Thursdays 9:30 on SBS. Or all the episodes will be going up once a week on SBS On Demand.
Great.
So just a quick response from a listener. We had a response to our discussion of Normal People last week from listener Kay. she did take issue with us saying that Normal People had nothing new or groundbreaking to it. She says, point me to another series that portrays young love so accurately, and that it's a very different experience if you have read the book, as half the enjoyment comes from the incredibly skillful adaptation. So I take your point, Kay, and I'm very happy to hear responses from listeners. I encourage anyone who disagrees with us to get in touch.
Indeed. And on that note, no takers defending Grace of Monaco. Which I rest my case.
And if you do want to get in touch, you can do so. But first, subscribe to SBS The Playlist wherever you get your podcasts and give us a lot of stars and leave us a nice review because it helps people to find the show. And then jump onto Facebook or Twitter at SBS Movies to let us know what you thought of what we discussed. And I'm on Twitter at BenNewinTV.
And I'm on Twitter at AnythingButFifi.
And The Playlist is produced by Jeremy Wilmot. Until next week.
Thanks for listening.